Please all stand if you will. Let's go before him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we just felt the calmness of your spirit, Lord, all day. Lord, we just love and appreciate you with all our hearts. Lord, so thankful, Lord, we have that peace and that joy in our hearts, Lord. Lord, for we don't have to worry. Lord, one of these days you're going to come and take us home, Lord. We just love and appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me, Lord. Yes. Just have your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for your glory. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. I got a new course here I'd like to try. Page 539, You Only Believe. Create in me a new heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. practicing together exposed me today. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a beautiful little song. Amen. It's something I want God to put in me. Amen. Page 593. Give thanks. Amen. Give thanks with the He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we appreciate you. Amen. think about that little song. At one time we was poor. We thought we had everything. But thanks to His mercy and grace, we're rich in His word, we're rich in His revelation. Amen. Just so thankful. Always give thanks every day. You may be seated. Amen. I still got a little song of my own. All can't remember what page it's on. Your little books, page 8. Amen. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking you.
Precious word, Lord, once more. Lord, we ask that our hearts and minds will be open to receive the portion you have for us this night, Lord. May it find that good ground in our hearts. Lord, once more we pray that you'll bless this offering. May it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. Yes. We ask in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. tonight by that raising our hand? Amen. We'll just keep it before him. Brother Philip, would you ask the request?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we're just grateful and thankful for the opportunity to have you once again gathered together here in our precious place of worship, Lord, the saints of life, precious faith. We pray tonight, Father, for the needs of the people where every hand was raised. You know the needs, Lord, and we pray, Father, that most of all the needs upon the heart, Lord, which are close to walk with you, Lord. The hour in which we're living in, Lord, and my God, the times that we're living in, we pray, Father, more than ever, dear God, that you'd grant unto us, Lord, that we may be able to walk pleasing in your sight and to do thy will. May our lives be a witness and testimony
Amen.
To you, Lord, that wherever we're at, Lord, whether we're on the job or on the street or in a restaurant or wherever we're at, Lord, my God, help us to let our lives be a witness and a testimony for you, Lord. We pray tonight for those that may be sick and afflicted, that you stretch forth your hand and touch them, Lord. And my God, raise them up as a witness and a testimony, Lord, to your healing grace in this hour in which we're living in. We pray, Father, now for thy word as it comes forth, that you will anoint the messenger, Lord, as it brings forth the word, Lord. Anoint his lips, Lord, as he speaks your word, Lord. And we pray that you'd anoint our hearts to receive your word, Lord, that it might bring forth fruit unto righteousness. We ask these things all now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Has anybody got a song in their heart? At all. Amen.
Can we sing
115
and the captain?
115 and the captain. The small book.
I'm sorry.
Page 15. The old capstone books. Amen. When I think of how he came so far from glory, my will, but thine, Lord.
fight my battle until they're won. Who am I? Who am I?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Stuck an old rugged cross up in the backyard. Stuck big spikes in it, the hands and the feet. I've looked at that old cross many times and I go, if I stuck a sign up there, what would it be? And that's the three words I'd put up there. Who am I? That he would bleed and die for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's grace. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Many mistakes I've made, I don't deserve what he's given me. But I'm so thankful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's, as we ask our brother to come tonight, let's just sing it again. Who am I? Hello, of course. Who am I that a king would lead and die for? Hallelujah. Who
it again. Amen.
Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thine, Lord?
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we sing that little chorus and we stand here this evening, Lord, we are thankful that, Lord, you take the time to come down and speak to each and every heart. Lord, we thank you for the desire that draws us and pulls us, Lord, to every word. And Lord, to even to be able to come and to have you speak and to feel that, be able to sit under the sound of the, whoever speaking's voice, Lord, and have that still small voice speak to the inside. And Lord, draw on our heartstrings and show us, Lord, the things we have need of. And then, Lord, by mercy and grace, have a desire in our hearts to cry out, Lord, to reach those higher heights in you.
Yes.
Lord, a drive, Lord, not to be the same person I was yesterday.
Yes, amen.
But Lord, to reach those higher heights in you.
Yes.
And Lord, we've come tonight, Lord, just asking you to have your way, Lord, to speak to us through this short exhortation you've laid upon our hearts. But Lord, we just want you to have your way.
Yes.
And Lord, we want to yield ourselves to you, Lord, that it's your word we're going to read, Lord, and may we just let it be your word and weigh ourselves with it, Lord, and let it find its place. And we'll never fail to give you all the glory and the honor that's due you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Truly, who am I? Amen. While you're still standing, let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Revelation. Read a very familiar scripture. Amen. Just a little thought the Lord laid upon my heart, and I'm sure the message from this morning is still fresh on everybody's minds, and even last Thursday evenings and Thursday evening before that. I pray God's word don't leave us. I pray that the things that we hear stays with us and we meditate on it and think about it. But here in Revelations, let's begin here at the third chapter, if you would. And I'm going to start here at the 14th verse. Very familiar scripture, but this is to us. Amen. This is the age in which we live. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not, thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May the Lord add the blessings of his word. You may be seated. But you know, as he says there in that 20th verse, after he gave forth that vision of what that message, that church of Laodicea was in, the shape of Laodicean age, he said, but behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door.
Amen.
And you know, we're living in such a time where he's still knocking on the doors. He's still coming back for a little bride, and he wants her to be right and ready.
Amen.
And how he sends his word, and he sent his messengers. He sent the prophet in this last age, and all the prophets in the ages gone by.
Yes.
And how that he sent forth the fivefold ministry to minister unto that little bride. And you know, I was just thinking as we gather in here as a part of them, considering that our goal is to be a member of that bride of Jesus Christ. And that's our goal, that's our objective. And every time we come in here, God is here to meet us. And maybe one time it's a joyous pat on the back and uplifting something. Or maybe sometimes as we come in, it's a sobering effect. But he's knocking on the hearts of our door of our hearts. And each time we come, there's a reason that God brings forth whatever it is that comes forth. And how we can see, oftentimes we look around us in this age and maybe we see somebody out here that's truly rejected. We'll just say marriage and divorce. And you can look at that person and say, oh my, they've totally left the word. They've rejected it. Maybe they can't accept changing of the soul. And oh my, it looks like a big thing. And we see that and oh, it's a black spot. Oh my goodness, that poor brother. But then we come in here where the Holy Spirit's beginning to knock on each of our doors with the simplest little words. Maybe it's a wife under submission to her husband, as it's been mentioned many times. Maybe it's a sister dressing right. Maybe it's a husband loving his wife. Mother, father raising their children. All of these maybe what we would consider little words. Maybe not a great big mystery. But all of this word is here, and it has to be fulfilled to be that exact life that our brother was speaking about this morning. It's got to come to that fullness. And when we come in here, that's why we're coming. That's why we're gathering. God is talking to us.
Amen.
And you know, we live in a day and an age where people have become so hardened. and so satisfied. As our brother even mentioned it this morning briefly, they think they're a Christian, they're going to heaven, they're a son of God, they was in the thoughts of God, and they believed a prophet. And that's all they do, and all they go through life, and that's their all. And they don't care how they treat people. They don't care how they drive over the speed limit. They don't care about nothing else in life, but, oh, I'm a believer. And that attitude begins to harden them. And then they begin to think, oh, I've got the Holy Ghost, brother. You can't tell me. I know what I can do. God's leading me. I can go here and I can go there. I can do this and I can do that. Because I got the Holy Ghost, I can control this and I can control that. We've seen that attitude. We've seen it take place. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to warn us against. Are we humble enough that when we come in here, God can still speak to our hearts? Or do we come in here and I'm just so bored of being here that I can't even keep myself awake during service? I can't be interested in the Word. I can't really be there to see what God's got for me, but it just shows all over me that I could just care less. I'm just waiting for service to end. But God is here. And you know, as Brother Branham expressed it, and we'll get to it here in a minute, in the door, I'm going to read a little bit out of the message, Doors in a Door. And he typed it as if the president would come. And you know, for a lot of us, it would even just come down to, what if it was a good man that we really knew and respected in this life? Just a good friend. And how we'd go out of our way maybe to make sure we could be somewhere they were going to be for a meeting or to do something for them. We'd go a little extra mile for them. But how much more each time we come in here, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is here to meet us. And are we truly going out of our way to make sure that when I get here, I'm going to be in the right condition to meet him? I'm going to be in the right condition to have him speak to my heart. And I come with the right attitude that, Lord, it's me that stands in the need of prayer. And as I come in here, I'm looking at me, no one else but myself, and weighing it out. But oftentimes we come in and the Word comes. And I pray that each one of us this morning, as we sit here and we hear the Word, and I'm able to look at my own life and say, Lord, let me see more of you in me. I can see areas, Lord, let's run higher. Press harder. Lord, have I let down a little bit? Have I grown lax, Lord? You know, we've been serving the Lord many years, a lot of us. We've been going to church for a long time. We've been planting taters for a long time. We've been going on, but God is soon to appear. And we see it coming, and the Word is coming as warning. And he's knocking, wanting to make sure. He's knocking on your heart's door, my heart's door, trying to show me what I have need of, what you have need of. That's why we gather here. We don't come here by chance. It's not by just, oh, I wanted to be at that church this morning, so I went there. God knows you. He knows our thoughts. He knows how we thought about the message this morning. We can all say, yes, brother, I really enjoyed that. I was listening. Amen. That's good. But God sat right beside you this morning and saw and knew everything you thought of the message that came forth. And that's every time we gather in here. God searches our hearts and knows us. And I guess that's my thing tonight is, are we opening to him? Are we willing to let him come in? Or do we shut him off? As soon as the Word begins to get anywhere close, don't you stay out of there. And I'd like to just remind you to a few things that Brother Branham mentioned in the message, Doors in a Door. And I'll just start here on page 18. And this is page 18. This message was preached February the 6th, 1965. Paragraph 117. He said, I stand at the door. Let me back up and start at 116. It's the little things that we leave undone sometimes that breaks the whole chain, you see, and lets us go free, just denominational-minded. Forget about these little things that really are the essential things. Everything, every word of God is essential, and none of it can be left out. We've got to take every word of it just the way it was wrote. I stand at the door, said Jesus, in this Laodicea age and knock. Did you notice the only church age that he was put out of his church? All other church ages, he was on the inside of that church through the Methodists, the Lutherans, and so forth. He was on the inside the church, but here he is outside. Our creeds and things had run him out of the church, but he is standing out there still knocking. And he that will hear and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and give them healing of his eyes and clothes and give him the riches of heaven that he will hear me knock. And I thought I could think of the name of the artist that drawed that picture, painted a picture, rather, of the door. When you know all the great pictures, first must go through the line of the hall of critics before it can come in the hall of fame. The original painting now would run millions of dollars. And this artist, however, it went through the critics, bunch of critics gathered around the artist, and I can't think of his name. It wasn't Michelangelo, but he was a sculptor, and I can't think of his name. But however, he said, "Your picture is outstanding." And he says, "I have nothing I could say against the picture," he said, "but because he's holding a lantern in his hand, it shows that he comes too in the darkest of night. And then he's at the door with his head and his ear, so he won't be sure to miss the faintest call. He had his ear turned to the door, and then he's rapping." He said, "But you know, sir, there's one thing you forgot in your picture." And the artist, taking him a lifetime to paint it, he said, "What is it that I have forgotten, sir?" And he said, "No matter how much that he knocked, see, you forgot to put the latch on it. There's no latch on the door. If you'll notice the door, there's no latch on it." He said, "Oh," said the artist, "I painted it thus." "Yes, sir." He said, "The latch is on the inside, and you're the one that opens the door. You opens the door. And oh, what does a man knock on that door for? He's trying to gain entrance. He's trying to get in. Perhaps he's got something he wants to tell you, talk over with you. He's got a message for you, got some reason to do it. There cannot be that happen without some reason. You would not go to a man's house unless there's some reason to go, if nothing else to visit, to take him a message or something. There's some reason for a man to go knock on another man's door." And how we can see as we come in here and even hear the word like we heard this morning, God is knocking on our door. And he's not doing it for no reason, but God knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows where we're standing. He knows everything we have need of. But as we stand here and he's knocking, trying to show us, am I opening up my heart to him and saying, "Lord, I see the need in my life"? You know, we've got to the place where you don't see people really want to have an altar call anymore. You don't see prayer meetings anymore like we used to. And you know, it's got to the place to, where is the desire of the people at? As our brother brought a while back here, souls in prison, and you stop and think, and you look. Where is that desire? Where is that hunger? That as the word comes, if I see that I'm short, where is that cry to reach out in the spirit and to see that thing overcome and done away with in my life? Amen. Where is that to really see that he's bringing me a message? And Lord, it's for me. And oh my, as I begin to think about these things and you begin to look around and see, as I said, it's so easy for people in this message to judge others. Oh, look, this brother, he's over there in that. And this brother's over there in that. And oh, that sister's doing this. And that sister's doing that. But we forget to look down at our own door where Jesus Christ is standing knocking, trying to show us what we have need of, trying to get into us. You know, we make so many excuses, as many have in the past, down through the ages. He's knocking. Maybe it's, you know, we begin to think, as the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And we think, God knows my situation. I know I'm just perfectly fine. And maybe God just keeps knocking and knocking and knocking, trying to show you or me that you should be there. And we say, but God knows my heart. Yes, he truly does know our heart. And I wonder and I pray that in each of us he sees that we truly long to be where his word is being brought forth. Making sure that every time we have that opportunity, we take a hold of it. But how that's one little word. And we can apply it, we got to apply it to the whole word. Not just the things that gets mentioned. As our brother may come and bring this avenue on something or something over here. But we've got to apply it to the whole word as a people. We know what the word says. And we've got to be honest with ourselves and look and weigh ourselves up and say, Lord, I see I'm short over there. And don't be blind and think, oh, it's okay, I'm going to get to that. No, that we must press while there's still yet time for what God has got for us. Amen. Amen. Here in over on page 22, let me make sure. He says, but Jesus, 146, but Jesus is bringing something to you when he knocks. He's bringing a pardon. Don't turn it down. For as it was tried in our courts, so will be the kingdom of heaven. If he knocked and brought the pardon and you turned it down, you'll die in your sins. You'll perish. And though you had the honor of sitting in a meeting like this, though you had the honor of attending a revival or a church and heard your pastor preach the gospel message, and you had the audience say, yes, I was there, and I heard hard tell what you could say. I heard the singing and I enjoyed it. I heard the testimonies and it was real. But you turned it down. And how we must sit here very carefully and make sure that we're not turning down nothing that the Holy Spirit's trying to bring to our attention. And how we must make sure that we're listening. As our brother has been warning us, your adversary, the devil, he's seeking, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And yes, we may think we're so spiritual. My parents have been in this message for years. I was raised in this message. I know all about this message. I know exactly what Brother Branham said. But has it been revealed to us what he said? Has it been revealed to us truly the meaning of every scripture in that Bible, that it holds me steadfast and sure? Or do I waver a little bit on this one and a little bit on that one because I really don't have a revelation? I just know what the scripture said. But oh, it's got to be anchored down on the inside. Amen. Paragraph 155, he says, I want to ask you now, if you would invite anybody into your house, and then you got inside the door, somebody invited you in, rather than say, come in, and say, yes, I have a purpose, and I'll go out of town and be honored. You see, that's the way a lot of people accept Christ. I belong to the church. I belong to the big so-and-so place down there where Dr. PHLL belongs, you know. It's the biggest church. The mayor goes there and everything. You know, I belong to that church. They let him in just that much. Yeah, I'll accept him, see, for personal gain. But when Jesus comes into your heart, many people accept him because they don't want to go to hell. But when Jesus comes into your heart, he wants to be Lord, not just a Savior, but Lord also. It means rulership. He comes in to take over. It's a life you don't live yourself. It's a life you can't live yourself. Amen. You say, is that right, Brother Branham? Sure. What if I invited you to my house and you come in the door? And you knocked at the door and I looked outside and I said, yes, come on in. If you can help me, well, you do so. But now when you come in now, I don't want you meddling around in my house. You just stand right there at the door. Remember, our text is doors and a door. And I don't know if you've ever been invited someplace, but I have, where you just felt so uneasy. You walk in the door, you don't feel welcome. You feel that cold front just like, oh, I don't think I should be here. And that's how, do we make God feel that way in our hearts, in our lives? What about even in our homes? Do we open up our heart to him fully, or do we want to hold on to a piece of what I want to do so I can speak back to my husband, or I can do this over here, I can hold on to this creed or some idea. It's okay for me to do this because I feel it's this way. And maybe the Holy Spirit's just knocking and knocking, and we feel that prick in our hearts knowing that he's trying to show us. But do we just turn a blind eye and push away? Don't want to open the door for that. But you got to remember that latch is on the inside. It's up to you to open it. Amen. He says, I don't want you meddling around in my house. You stand right there at the door. Remember, our text is doors inside the door. Now, inside the human heart, there's many little doors. And them little doors covers up a lot of things just to let him in. That isn't all. When he comes in, when I come in your house, if you welcome me at the door, why, you'd say, come in, Brother Branham. I'm so glad to see you. And I'd say, well, it's a privilege for me to come into your house. Oh, won't you come over and sit down? And Brother Branham, go through our house and make yourself at home. Oh my, I'd go over to the refrigerator and get me one of those great big sandwiches about like that, take off my shoes and go in the bedroom and lay down. I just have a real gastronomical jubilee, see? Why? Because I felt welcomed. You made me welcome. Therefore, I'd appreciate it if you made me welcome. But if I went to your house and you told me, you stand there at the door now, don't you go meddling around, I wouldn't feel too welcome, would you? No, see, you wouldn't feel welcome. Somebody invited you in and said, no, wait. Yeah, come in, but stand right there. Now, there's a little door when you're into the human heart. We'll just speak of a couple of them, see? We don't have time to go through all these doors because there's a lot of them. But the next 10 minutes, let's speak a couple, three doors. On the right side of the human heart, when you walk in, there's a little door on the right side that's called in there, and that's the door of pride. Oh, my, don't you go entering that door. They don't want the Lord in there on that door. That's pride. I'm a blue bud. I take care. Oh, yes. Now, I tell you, see, it's pride. Don't you meddle in there. Now, he can't feel welcome as long as you keep that pride door shut. And that's the number one door that keeps people from truly surrendering to Jesus Christ. Yes. It's the number one door that they can't get past. They just won't open it up. And they keep it closed, and Jesus is standing there knocking time after time. He's trying to show us. And oh my, how we may come into a service to worship him, and all, we worship the Lord and we'll sing, maybe jump, whatever, and go through the ritual of a song service, and then come to the Word and have no interest in what's being said, have no interest in what God is bringing to me. And God's looking there, he's sitting right beside us in the service. Nobody else is paying any attention, but he's sitting right there seeing, I paid a price for you. I hung on a cross that blood could be spilled, and it made a way that there would be a desire in your heart to be here, and then to see you turn him aside. We can't even wait. We can't even come in longing to hear from him. And he sees it in our hearts and in our lives. He sees that kind of rejection. And then as we sing a song like, "Who Am I?" And he's looking down and he sees our hearts. And he knows, do we really feel that way? And if we did, we'd be opening ourselves up to him saying, "Lord, take me in your hands. Lord, make me what I ought to be." But does he see that kind of response in us when the word begins to come? Or does he see that blank look come over our face and he just sees that door shut? Don't meddle there. You stay out of there. That's no place for you. But God's watching. He's sitting here. It doesn't matter what any of us see. God sees us all. He sees me. He knows my heart. He knows my thoughts. He knows everything I think or say. And he sees us all the same way. And oh my, may we take heed to what he's bringing to us each and every time. This was in the Message Influence, preached November 30th, 1963. And Brother Branham was speaking about Uzziah and how he got lifted up with the king, starting at paragraph 58. He said, it's exactly what Uzziah had done, a good man. You say, well, that person, Uzziah, was a good person too, a fine person, a God-blessed man. But no matter what it was, he must always stay in his place because God gave him the opportunity to influence others by being a righteous king, not a priest. And the word forbid him to do that. So he went in and was going to offer. And when he was called down, the word was given to him that he wasn't supposed to do that thing, that God had blessed him in his business and whatever it was, but not to try to take this priest's place. He was out of the word. He was going to do it anyhow, no matter what anyone said. And now, isn't that the attitude of too many people today? They won't take correction of the word, and that's the reason we find ourselves wrapped up in a big council of churches here, not knowing where we're going, heading into the world's tens of thousands of members at it every year, and we don't see the hand of God anywhere moving, dead, formal, just exactly what the Bible said they would be, a Laodicean church age, a lukewarm, spurted from God, the mouth of God, Christ on the outside trying to get in, and the church inside won't let him in, sets the picture today exactly, because man doesn't understand their position, comes from the word and the word of God. And Uzziah ought to have taken heed. Remember, we call him today a Christian that God had blessed. He wasn't just some ordinary man. He was a man that was blessed by God, and he did not want to stand correction, no matter how much the word said it was so. He didn't want to understand because he felt secure enough that God would let him get by with something else. And oh my, how many people today feel that they're going to get by with what the things they want to accept and to do. But God's going to require every word of each and every one of us. Amen. The time's coming. But we have that opportunity now as we gather in here, that correction's coming. It's showing us where we need to stand, what we need to overcome. God's given us an opportunity, knocking on our door. And all, but do we welcome him with open arms? Lord, come in and abide with me. Oh my. He says, and that's what's the matter with our peoples today around the world, that they think that God will let them get by with something contrary to this word. He'll never do it. We must come back to correction and stand correction by the word because of his arrogant way he acted. He paid no attention to what this minister had to say. He would do what he wanted to do. And how we must make sure we never take that attitude. When we come in here, it may be, we'll say, we call him Brother Steve, gets up here to minister to us. And it don't matter where you're attending service, but when your pastor stands up, if he's a fivefold ministry, and he begins to bring that precious word, you better move that veil back and make sure that you see it's the word. It's not the mailman's just bringing a letter from someone else. And we better weigh up and make sure that our lives are matching the word that's being brought to us. And that Holy Spirit's knocking on our heart's door, and each and every one of us, I pray, has felt that at some point in our life. And I pray we feel it every service, that as you're sitting there, you can feel that still small voice on the inside speaking to your heart. You can feel it, that Holy Spirit just scrubbing you, cleaning, looking around. If you make him welcome, you'll feel that every time. Roll back them curtains and let him look in every room. Amen. But oh my, do we not really take concern? Oh, I've got this. I know all about that. I'm the most righteous person there ever was. I'm the best Christian. I do it this way and I do it that way. But oh my, what's God see in our hearts and in our lives? Amen. Don't judge ourselves by ourselves, for it's not wise. Amen. As he says here, back over here in Doors and a Door, he says, he can't feel welcome as long as you keep that pride door shut. He's got to humiliate you, see? That's what he comes in for. You mean to tell me I have to go down there and act like the rest? You don't have to. That's one thing, sure. But I'll tell you what you think I'd do when I went to business council next time. What would I do if I met with my employer tomorrow and I had to get that spirit on me and I jump up there in the middle of my work and go to speaking in tongues? Oh, that would humiliate me. No, stay out of there, see? There you are, yeah. You'll let Jesus come in. You'll join the church. Put your name on it. Accept Jesus as your Savior. But what about being your Lord? He's got full sway. When he's Lord, he's got it all. It belongs to him. See, you are completely surrendered to him now. But that little pride, oh, you mean for us women, we're going to have to let our hair grow? Well, that's what he said. You mean I got to ask my husband before I go to town or before I make a decision? You mean I've got to consult with him before I can buy this thing over here? Oh, my saints. That's just little words, and that's for the sisters. What about all of the words that apply to all of us in every day? Am I a jokester cutting up? Am I carnal all the time? What, all these words, it's all there for a purpose. Even the thing to be carnally minded, as the it was all coming forth this morning. Look at all of the words that we have. But do we sit there, I'm okay, it's not me, that's not for me. But are we truly opening up? Lord, why are you knocking on my heart? Lord, why are you bringing this to my attention? Why am I hearing this, Lord? There must be a reason. There's something here I'm needing, Lord. Amen. But oh, do we approach it that way? You know, nobody comes to your house just to be coming. They're coming for a reason. Amen. Amen. They're knocking on your door for a reason. Yes. Amen. He says, but when you're ready to see hair grow, he said, what do you think my sewing circle will do? They call me old-fashioned. We just keep your pride. Go ahead. He'll stand at the door. That's all the farther he can get. But when you're ready to open that door and let him come in, he'll clean it out for you. Shorts will go out here in the garbage can. The makeup will go back to the garbage can. The barber will starve to death if he just cut women's hair to a real believer. Now say that. Oh, yes, it does, too. That's what the Bible said. That's right. And there is a little word here that you don't want him there. And how we need to make sure that we're not closing out any word that Jesus Christ is trying to bring to our attention. How we should weigh it. Maybe I'm doing something that I feel is okay, but every time the word comes, I feel that little stir in my heart, maybe concerning this one thing that I'm doing. And maybe I just feel, maybe the pastor's not calling out that thing that I'm doing, but I feel a little stir in my heart against it. Maybe I better go to prayer and see, Lord, does that need to go? Does this need to leave? Amen. He only knocks, and he's very small. Still voice, amen. I'm going to turn over here and read a portion of this scripture in Luke, our brother read couple services ago, I believe. Might have been a few more than that. Amen. But Luke 24, and I won't read the whole thing, just want to catch a portion of it here. Begin at 24th chapter and 25th verse. And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And oh, how he was kind of giving it to them a little bit. You know, listen to him, how he was chiding them a little bit here. Fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then he began at Moses and all the prophets to expound unto them the scriptures and the things concerning them. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. And I want you to think about that. How much are we constraining him when we sit here and we can feel him passing by? We can feel his anointing and we know that he's dealing with our hearts. How much am I constraining him? How much am I reaching out, trying to get a hold of him, saying, Lord, abide with me for just a little while. Come and stay with me, Lord. But oh, do we just, he's passing by. It's okay. Don't worry about it. We're going to, almost church is almost over. We're fixing to leave. Oh, where's our hearts at, saints?
Amen.
He says, but as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Amen.
And then here in the message, amen, this is in the message, when their eyes were open, they knew him. Preached March 12, 64. Paragraph 95. True, their eyes were still closed. Noticed, though they could not believe, there was something in him. They invited him to come in. He acted like he was going on by, and he might act like that to you tonight. Now, in closing, I'm going to close early so I can have a prayer line. He might act like he's going to pass you by. Maybe you're, let's see me drop down. Remember, he makes out like he's going to pass by, and they constrained him. Now, they didn't understand what he was talking about, but yet their minds, they didn't know what to believe. And now there's just many a person like that today. There's many a person like that in Beaumont tonight. They don't know what to believe, but you know what they did? They did the most wisest thing any man could do. They invited him in. That's it. And it's then only can he reveal himself when he's invited to come in. Welcome him in. Say, Lord Jesus, I know the scripture says that I might not understand it, but come into my heart. I want to accept. I want to believe you and then manifest yourself to me. Notice they invited him in. They couldn't explain it. They didn't understand what he was talking about. It was all mixed up to them. They couldn't understand it, but yet they said, invite and constrained him. You must come in. And he said, no, I got to be going on. But, oh, Lord, you must come in. You must come in. And constrained him until and called upon him until he had to go in. And that's the way you do. When he gets inside, that's when he can reveal himself. He can make himself known when inside. Notice how he did it after his resurrection. The true promised word. See, they did not realize who he was. But once inside of them, he opened their eyes. That way, and when he got inside the building with him there, he opened their eyes after he got inside. And oh my, may we cry out, Lord, truly, come in and abide with me. Open my eyes, Lord, to every word. May I see everything, Lord. Don't let nothing be seen in me that's not Christ-like. Oh, is that the desire of our hearts, or are we content that we think we've got everything? But we're still here for a reason, as our brother said. If we had the revelation, it would have been a rapture. But we've all still got rooms to grow and to climb. But are we crying out to God for that? Or do we just, in a ritual and a tradition, we come to church? And I know we've been coming a long time. And it's not about jumping and shouting and running all over the pews. But a true, genuine worship burning in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Something to where it's spontaneous. When we sing, Who Am I? You see someone, as we stand sometimes, you'll see one person stand and another person stand. But a true spontaneous in it. Not just, I stood up because brother so-and-so did. But you can see it in them. You can see that there's a genuine worship in them. A genuine longing to praise him going forth from their hearts and lives. And then as we sit here and hear the word, it shows in the way that I pay attention. I'm quiet. I'm just focused in on what God's bringing. It shows where my attention's at. And if people can look at me and see I'm not interested in what's being brought, what do you think God can see on us? And oh my, may we truly weigh ourselves and say, Lord, here am I, Lord. I'm opening up my heart to you, Lord. Come in and talk to me, Lord. Come in and abide with me for a while. And may that be the true desire of our heart.
Amen.
You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. A small exhortation. But you know, as Brother Branham said here, as he began to bring this message, and I thought of this as our brother many times brings what the Lord lays upon his heart, and sometimes it may seem what he considers small. But Brother Branham, as he began to read this, he said, the Lord bless the reading of this word. And I want to take for just a few moments a little text called Doors in a Door. And you might say to me, brother, there's probably 100 people here. Don't you think that's kind of a small text when you have before you 100 souls? He said, well, that might be true. The text is small. But it isn't the size of the text that counts, but it's what the text says that counts. And may we truly listen to what God has got for us each and every time. It may be a scripture, it may only be one quote, but if it's what God wanted me to hear for that evening or that time, may I truly be open and willing and saying, Lord, make it more real to me. Oh my, God's got a reason for bringing every word back to us. We've heard much word. We've heard many of these scriptures. We've read it ourselves many times. But God has a chosen channel, and that's why he brings us through here the way that he does and has us come. And each time we come, if we'll come open and receptive, he's got something for us. And oh, how we can grow closer to him. How much greater our lives can become more like him, more controlled by the word. If we'll just yield and abide and ask him to come in, Lord, I'm opening up my heart to you. Lord, clean back and sweep out all them dirty places. Anything, Lord, where there's a cobweb, sweep it clean, Lord. And make it just like you would have it be. Hey, man, let's all stand if you would. As our brother comes, let's sing that little chorus. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Amen.
Lord, Lord Jesus, abide with me. My life.
Is that the way you feel? Hey, man, I pray that each one of us can feel that drawing in our hearts. I pray we're just not, oh, we had a good service this morning. We had a good service Thursday evening. We heard the word. But is there something truly drawing down on the inside of us? Is there something that's pulsating, it's pulling? As we sang that little chorus this morning, I feel the pull. Is it truly there drawing me, or do I just form a full ritual? You have to answer for yourself. I'm going to answer for myself as I look and weigh my life. Lord, why do I come here? Why do I gather in? Why do I go to church? Why do I read this word? What's my goal, Lord? Am I just doing it because it's something I've always done and I'm just kind of in a rut? Or can I truly feel the moving and the wooing of the Holy Spirit? There's something down inside that's coaxing me and drawing me to a higher height in Jesus Christ. There's something really drawing me. I pray each one of you are feeling it. Because, oh, I can feel His presence. I felt it this morning as He was drawing, speaking to my heart. And I pray that each one of us are feeling that as that word's coming forth. Lord, where's my higher ground? Lord, where do I need to climb? And may that truly be the desire of our hearts. Amen. Without a Savior, Lord Jesus,
precious Heavenly Father, again we are so thankful for the word tonight that you delivered to our hearts. Every time we gather here, Lord, it isn't just for no reason at all. But as our brother said, there's a purpose in it. There's a reason why we've gathered here this evening and gathered around your word tonight. And Lord, by your mercy and grace, have found portions for me, and Lord, strength to me, and I appreciate it with all my heart. So thankful, Lord, for your ever-caring love for us. Lord, as we sing the song many times, He careth for you. How we see that so many times, Lord, how you care for us, and how you love us, Lord, for as you read the scripture, Lord, you love us. You rebuke us and chasten us. Oftentimes, Lord. But Father, I think many times, where would we be if you didn't chasten us? Amen. We see in the natural, Lord, how children are being raised today and their parents don't correct them and chasten them. And Lord, their lives is a complete mess. They become juvenile delinquents and all manner of drugs and alcohol and terrible attitudes and hatred and envy and strife and jealousies because, Lord, they wouldn't chasten. And, Lord, I think many times, where would we be if your love hadn't chastened us? I'm thankful, Lord, for your love. I appreciate it. Sometimes, Lord, I've been a mailman. Lord, we wonder sometimes, so many times, why speak these things? But Lord, we know you're getting a little bride ready. We know you're getting her ready, Lord, to be just like you, get her ready for rapture. But that doesn't make it any easier, Lord, on the men that deliver the word of God. Sometimes, Father, we have battles. And Father, we know Satan tries to destroy us. He'll just try to destroy the messengers, those that deliver the word of God. And Father, we realize that you'll put things in our minds and try to give us just to give up and walk away and forget it. But Lord, there's something greater on the inside that keeps us pressing on. One day we'll have a crown, Lord, laid up for us. We'll have. Father, help us to be true and faithful. There's so many in this day, Lord, is given away to the quicksands of life. And the cares of life that draws them and takes them away. But Lord, help me to continue on. Help me to be, Lord, one that'll stay true. And Father, solid in the Word of God. But I pray for revelation, Lord. I pray for revelation more than anything else in this life. I pray for your leadership and your guidance that you'll give me the things to speak to these people. That'll, Father, encourage them and strengthen them and see the way that you have laid out for them. So we pray, Lord, thy will be done now. We appreciate this service. And Lord, help each one of us, oh God. We're so feeble, Lord. And truly the flesh is weak, but the spirit is truly ready. And we ask, Lord, a little special prayer tonight again for Brother Geisinger. I'm asking, dear God, that you would meet him in his room tonight and strengthen him and encourage him, Lord. How it'd be so discouraging to have to sit in that room and, Lord, and be limited to what he can do so much. I pray for him, Lord. He's my brother, and I love him with all my heart. And, Father, he's been through things that I may never have to go through. Pray that you'll encourage him and help him, Lord. And each one of us now, Lord, keep us in tune to your Holy Spirit. And bless each family, Lord, each loved one here. Bless the daddies and the mothers and the children. Lord, help us to be pleasing in thy sight above all things. We pray now thy will be done, so we wait on your leadership. The next move in our life. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just sing a little chorus, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." Amen. Where He leads me, I will follow.
Where He leads me, I